You're listening to the Mind Made Wrong podcast, presented by Steel Maggie, episode number 18.
Well, hello there. You see me. Finally, I'm in the flesh. I really wish we could be hanging out together in person doing this mind made wrong thing. But what I'm doing today is the next best thing because it's my first video podcast, Spirit Fingers. So for those of you who would like to see this mug, this particular episode is the first of my video interviews and video podcasts. I'm going to be experimenting with that and seeing how it goes, seeing if you guys like it. If you're listening, obviously, on Apple Podcasts and hearing this on Spotify or your audio platform of choice, head on over to YouTube, Steel Maggie YouTube channel. It's going to be under Mind Made Wrong, episode 18 with Stephen Myers. So that's my guest today. Riveting. He's the founder and guitarist of Past Tense of Never, which is a really cool band name, first of all. And he's a musician as an individual living with Asperger's. Stephen is really a testament to the importance of mindset. He's an advocate against bullying, hate, and stigma. And as such, he's a great, amazing contributor to this podcast. So without further ado, we're just gonna say hey.
Hi.
Nice to meet you. This is Stephen Myers, everyone. I just introduced him. But now you've got both of us on screen. So double trouble. What's not to love? We've got the SM, we've got the September morning, we've got the Steel Maggie, we've got the Stephen Myers. We're rolling
in SMs. That's going to be how it is.
That's how I like it. That's my role. This is my universe. All right, Stephen. So first tell us right off the bat where we can find Past Tense of Never online. What are your Instagram handles? What are your Twitters? What are your YouTubes? Lay it all on.
First place you're going to want to go to find Past Tense of Never is Spotify. Spotify's got everything up to date, and you can just go to the search bar, type in Past Tense of Never, and we're the only one there. We'll come right up. Also, you know, the same thing goes for Apple Music, Tidal, Deezer, Napster, Amazon, so on and so forth, Google Play. You can find us all there. Just simply type in Past Tense of Never. Instagram and Twitter are both the same. You do the at symbol, and then it's PTON official. And those are all regularly updated. I have to admit, we're not the greatest with Twitter. We're still learning, but we'll get there. So, you know, come
Twitter's
by and
hard.
Say hi. Yeah, it's
it's interesting. A different place.
Twitter's so, again, we digress, but I say briefly, Twitter's so interesting to me because of how well you can keep up with current events that aren't filtered to for the most part. You know, like watching a live video of the Hong Kong protests because somebody threw it up on Twitter is like, look what's happening now. Just of that nature. But back to where to find us. Facebook, you could do fb.me/past tense of never. And you can also find us on the YouTubes. We have a new video coming out in early September along with a single. So, that's good. Just please help us beef up the subscribers to 100 so we can get a custom YouTube link. That would be fantastic.
I think the number.
Yeah, they awarded to you at 100. I believe we're at about 65. but definitely come subscribe. There's hidden gems on there that aren't anywhere else. And it really helps when people check out our social media and you know, engage with us. Definitely stream our stuff. Spotify is a big contender right now. We are in a golden age with Spotify, And a lot of promoters, potential management, et cetera, they're looking at that. And, you know, we got some pretty decent high numbers as far as like us being, you know, I dare say local band, up and coming maybe, as opposed to some of our other counterparts. And that shows that our fans love us. They give a shit. They think that, you know, what we're doing is something that's impacting them. So, you know, they check us out. Definitely, you know, throw that Spotify up.
All right. Well, tell us about Past Tense of Never.
Past Tense of Never, there's a lot of, first of all, we're going to go ahead and preface this. There are a lot of John Lucas overlays.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or segues. Leading back to earlier, we were talking about September Morning. John McLucas I believe drum editing is the phrase for September Morning, and he did some other work with him. So Past Tense of Never is a coined by John McLucas industrial post-prog band. That genre definition came from John because I have no idea what genre we are. I can't figure it out. Just don't know. So one day I was like, dude, what are we? And that was what he spewed out at the moment. And I've went with it. I think it's very accurate. We are based out of, the Piedmont of North Carolina. The band is, a trifecta of, myself. I am the live lead guitarist, but in the studio I am the guitarist, the bassist, the soundscaper. Courtney McMillan is our vocalist. She is also a talented keyboardist as well, and up until our next show has been playing keys live for every performance that we've had. We're going to backing tracks so she can go be more active like she wants to. And I think that's awesome. And well-deserved. LC Fox is our drummer. They are an excellent addition and have been in the band since August of 2018. Before then, we did not have a drummer. Our drummer was the Mac that I'm talking on to you right now. and we were running drums that I had pre-programmed using TuneTrack drum software and Reaper as a DAW with the very Focusrite that I have under there now as my backup mobile interface. And LC, they had came to audition for us. They did a fantastic job. And we were like, yo, do you want a job? through all the band members that we've had, we have this triad of us three where we're just going to kind of keep it that way. And we've gelled together into a wonderful unit. The band initially started, oh gosh, back in 2007. It was a whole different, back then, oh man. You know, I didn't have a clue, but I knew that I was writing these cool songs. And there was this wonderful vocalist named Angel up the street in Scranton, PA, that when I lived there at the time. And we got together, started making songs. We had a demo out called Angel Devil Drug Syndrome in Scranton. That was pretty popular. There was all sorts of cool shows that we had done. It was, but I didn't have a clue, you know. And I was still, you know, at this point, I didn't even know about the Aspergers. It was a whole different ballgame for me. And from then until just this past year, it's been just a cavalcade or an avalanche rather of different band members just trying to cycle in, you know, who works best for this, what are, you know, how is this gonna impact the music we make, like what are, like what's your vision, what do you see doing with this? And we went through three singers, five bass players, God knows how many guitarists.
Guitarists, you know, guitarists.
I mean, I don't want to be the pot calling the kettle black.
That's what I'm saying, but you know.
But we went through so many, and now it's just like, you know, LC and Courtney and I have three different musical directions that have just that just come into a this wonderful melting pot of deliciousness. And I mean, the singles that we've done since, like, for example, Elsie penned a song called One For All. It's I'm going to do my best to describe it. It's a wonderful anthem for the LGBTQ community, of which they are a big part of. I'm also a part of it. And I'm sure millions of Americans or people in this world are a part of it. And that song has just... It's just, musically, it grabs you, and lyrically, it tells you a story of how much you want to just take back what's yours and say, I am me. I am all for one. I am one for all. They penned this, they wrote it, they played the guitar on the track. All I did was the bass guitar and the synthesizers. The
programming, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, the bass was performed live. I have a MIDI controller, so, and I mean, I can play keyboards too, so I don't really program much anymore. And there's an electronic drum. We have a Simmons. It's a SD350. It sucks. I don't like it, but we have it. And, you know, and if I don't want to program drums, or if Elsie, you know, we want to record them here as opposed to recording them there. Either way, I would say Past Tense of Never is just a huge melting pot of influences, ranging from industrial to rock to, oh gosh, I don't know. I would say it's metal, and then somebody else would say it was post-core mathematical drain cleaner music.
There's too many like genres.
I get so lost, but it's something that really, we hope that our music tells tales that people can identify with. Ranging from social issues to family issues to even deeper and darker issues that some people just don't want to talk about, but they really got to address so we can make life better for everybody.
Absolutely. Sounds like you've got a great little trio, kind of like that core, you know. So there was a lot of tumult, you know, in the past, I guess, 12 years or, you know, 10 to 12 years that you were dealing with all the different band members or members, right? What was the biggest lesson you learned throughout all that? But maybe it can be about the music industry, or it can be about yourself.
Don't trust anybody at their word. Be a doubting Thomas.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God, absolutely. Because I mean, I had a bass player that couldn't tune a bass, but I liked him. And I would come in and I would tune the bass before he got to practice. And then the singer at the time, not our current singer, the singer in the band at the time showed up at the practice spot, caught me tuning the bass and was like, "The fuck are you doing?" And I explained myself. And that's where I had to have a coming to Jesus with myself. It's like, what am I doing? Am I really doing this? Oh my gosh, I'm just as... Oh, no. He quit eventually. So it was like, okay, I'm saved from having to fire you, but whatever. But that's just one of many stories of many, I really think that you should, and to elaborate on that rather than just throw out a sentence, take the time to get to know a person who's joining your band. Definitely invest in a relationship. Learn about their skills. More importantly, watch their skills. See it in front of you. Really, definitely, without a shadow of a doubt, let them prove to you that they can do what they say that they can do. Because if you don't, there's going to be those moments when you're on stage and things sound bad. And you want to smash guitars.
And that's not part of your aesthetic. Not anymore.
I have, for one of my guitars, is a $1,000 7-string Schecter. You think I want to smash that?
Yeah.
Oh, I can just imagine going and getting the performance guarantee on it. Like, you know, Guitar Center guy's like, "So, what happened? I see this YouTube video here." And I'm like, "It fell. My kid knocked it over." No. But no, I just feel that it's really important to definitely do your homework on people that are going to be working on a musical project with you. Make sure that their interests align with yours. It all goes in with the whole don't be a, or definitely be a doubting Thomas. Definitely do that. And that doesn't mean, okay, let's clarify. I don't believe you. You can't do that. But more so like in your head say, okay, well, you say you're an excellent, well, for example, like right now our bass guitars are running through our backing tracks like September Mornings are. So we don't have a bass player. So if somebody wanted to audition for our band as a bass player, you know, and they're like, well, I'm fantastic. You know, I can play really well. And I've got a 5-string jazz Fender, blah, 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 Ampeg, blah, blah, blah. It's like, okay, cool, man. Well, you know, you got anything I could check out on YouTube? Are you playing or you got any demos and stuff? You know, because you've been playing for like 20 years and you seem really accomplished. Oh, no, man, I don't really have anything on, you know, it's like, shit, dude, I've got a video on YouTube of me smashing a bass guitar and walking off stage because of, like, back in 2006. Like, I've got stuff from the early 90s. Again, I'm almost 40 years old, so it's like, you know, like, so if anybody were to say to me, well, you know, Steven, I'd like to hire you as XYZ, do you have anything I could reference from? Dude, fill in the blank. Like, I'll take the check, bro. What's that, Chad Kroger? You want me to be your guitar tech? What? You want me to write a song with Nickelback? Dude, sign. Like,
there's a lot of all talk, you know, especially when it comes to people entering bands and, you know, people trying to get into for hire situations. It's not a good scene.
Well, I also want to take this to dual answer. The answer to your question is also a double-edged sword because, like, you know, I didn't have my mental health stuff right until this year, okay? And I really feel like another thing that people need to do if you're starting a band is you need to make sure that you have your own shit in order. Really do. And not just, like, you're playing. Like, I'm trying to stick with so much the theme of your – like, we can kind of go off a little bit, but – sticking with the theme of your show, have it in order, okay? Like me, I lived with a false diagnosis for almost 20 plus years, and then, you know, because I never got my stuff in order, I did a lot of stupid shit. I ruined friendships. And with all that being said, like, I had to really step back and say, oh my gosh, I think I might be the problem in a lot of these situations.
Here's the
holy crap, I am the problem in a lot of these situations. You know, this guy. Yeah. And I have. And there's people out there who would definitely agree with that statement. They would say, oh wow, he's finally saying it. Well, good for him or that guy. And you know what? That's totally cool. It's totally cool. But I just really feel it's important. And I know it's hard, especially, I know these are, like, not to try to talk too much about it because of, you know, I don't want to answer a question you might ask me in 20 minutes, but it's like, with as hard as it is to find decent mental health help, you know, compassionate mental health help, you know, mental health help that doesn't just, you know, try to throw some pills at you with no subsequent care and call it a day. You know, invest that time in looking for a healthcare professional, you know, especially a primary doctor that can, you know, guide you in the right direction of getting that help. And do that before you try starting a band because you will mess stuff up if you don't. I've been there. I've done it. I've ruined the relationships. And I'm here to tell you that if you don't do those things, that is going to be one quick way to take a band that was a beautiful unicorn and watch it fall.
I love that. I just said, that's perfect. And it's all your fault. It's yours, you know, and you can't save people from a sinking ship when you're the sinking ship.
Agreed.
It's a losing battle. So let's go to that, what you touched on about Mind Made Wrong, the theme of this podcast. Let's talk about a moment in your life when you felt or believed that your mind was made wrong, and how did you go about the process of healing?
They were in two different points of my life. I felt that my mind was made wrong, like, oh gosh, all through childhood. Because I was never, like, normal. I, like, and it leading back to not getting to social stuff. having to lie and fake your way through life and act like I would literally find the most popular kid and spend like weeks following him around, being out of sight, not knowing, not letting them know I was there, and watching how they acted and how they talked and how they got through stuff. And then I would do that and I would have similar results. It was the same way of how to deal with bullies back in the day. I've watched kids who would stand up for themselves and how do I G-rate this?
It's not a
smack. Okay. They would smack the shit out of somebody who deserved it because they wouldn't stop bullying them. And I would see that. And I was also getting bullied a lot back in the day. I was a Yankee growing up in rebel territory. And I didn't even understand half of that stuff to begin with as a youngster. And I dealt with a lot of crap from the Confederate flag wavers. And then I would watch kids who were not, they were made right, I suppose, or they, let's just say they didn't have any neurological disorders or anything like that. And they would get bullied and they were like, you know, no, I'm not going to take your crap. We're going to end this now. I would emulate that behavior and the bullies would start to stop.
Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah. Yes. It was. Yeah, it was. But that also, you know, didn't fare well in other situations. So we're not going to say that also keep in mind, like back then, you know, like God love my parents, you know, they tried their best to work with me, but you know, back then, like you had to have a lot of money to get good mental health care. It didn't matter if you had this Medicaid stuff. It sent you to a counselor who wants to go home and get on the personals and get laid and drink a bottle of wine. Are you kidding me? I'm in my late 30s before I was, when I was single, I wanted to do the same thing. I'm an adult. I know what you want to do. Like, you don't want to be here helping people. Get out of here. He talked to me about stupid questions that I can go on now online on the internet and read. And I can read a DSM-5. I don't need you, you know, that kind of stuff. But either way, like, God love my parents. Like they just, the Asperger's wasn't discovered until this year. Okay. And like, I would watch like documentaries about people like that and just see so much in common with me. And then I had seen a guy, he's got a channel called The Aspie World. That this dude is just like amazing, a wonderful resource, but as an adult discovering these things. So I discovered that the mind was made wrong when I was young, but I went through the process of healing this year. It was personal. I found out I was having a daughter and I was like, you know what? I don't want my kid to grow up like this, going 38 years in her life and not knowing what the frick is going. What? No, dude. No. So I started, I went to my primary doctor and I was just like, look, doc, XYZ. So we set up Asperger testing, autism testing. It was like spectrum deal. It was a whole kit and caboodle. And I'm on minor medication for anxiety, just in case. Mm-hmm. Like one of those things, but it's not like it doesn't alter my mood. So I just kind of feel like situations I've had where anxiety came up, it helped me manage that a little bit. So that was nice. But yeah, it was like 39 years old. You find out you know, that's you, and you're like, okay, well, so now I have an answer and an explanation. How the hell do I live with it? But the process of healing really just went with learning how to deal with it, learning how to having an answer to what I was and how to move forward, you know? Because, you know, it'd be aggravating to be talking to my dad and he'd want to have a conversation and be saying, I don't want you to get mad and get animated. And I'm thinking, okay, you just described my Aspie. Good job, but you know, and he'll never get it. God love him, he'll never get it. But it, like that kind of stuff, like the healing starts really with you. Mm-hmm. It starts with you. It starts with you owning your shit. And it doesn't excuse you for any bad shit you did in the past. You still got to come to terms with that. There's still stuff I'm going to have to come to terms with, and I'm fine with that. It's whatever. Fine. But at least now, you know, a lot of the people that I hurt in the ways that I may have hurt them, you know, and each person finds this out throughout their life. I understand now that me not dealing with my neurological disorder, as it were. Like, I didn't live the way that I could have to spend the 39 years that I was on this earth so far. I guess a little more loving.
Would you say that you're the catalyst to embarking on that healing process and saying, oh, well, fuck, something needs to change, was the existence of the birth of your daughter?
Oh, yeah. When I found out that my girlfriend was pregos, I was like, oh, well, this is cool. I mean, like, you're scared like normal, but
yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, I'm going to get to see what I look like. And then the cool stuff is like, oh, I get to have a family. And okay, cool. Like, nice. I'm totally cool with all of that. But when, you know, Kiara, you know, coming into our lives, like, I just didn't want whatever was wrong with me. We needed to fix this stuff quick. Because I don't have time anymore. I just don't. There's so much going on, especially with a new baby coming into the world. And, you know, I just could not anymore justify not taking care of what was bothering me, causing me so many problems. And my relationships were suffering with people. And I just had enough. And that was it. I just had enough. Like, you know, that age old adage, you know, you hit rock bottom, you know, you'll figure out how to swim. Well, I mean, that was it.
So that's how it manifested, was in the relationships. Anything else?
Yeah. Well, I wasn't exactly the best boyfriend either. Oh man, let me tell you, trying to communicate to a girl, or whoever you're dating, rather, like, just trying to communicate. Oh yeah, it was terrible. Like, you know, and I had even ghosted one person. Like, I don't want anyone thinking I'm some kind of angel, or like, you know, if anything, my fuck ups, I want people to learn from so they just don't do it. Like, but no, I've just, like, it was hard. It was hard to communicate. Like, even like something like this.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult for me. Hell yeah, it is. But at the same token, I had to learn from people like John, or, you know, other people that do podcasts, or people that do interviews. Or how do you be interviewed? How do you talk to somebody when you're on camera? What do you want to avoid doing? And then I just memorize that shit, you know. And it makes it hard, though, because then I have to wonder, well, what is my personality even like? And then you figure out, when it comes to people like us or like me, my personality is my routine.
Ooh.
You know? And okay. That to me is interesting, because I literally have to, like, who I am and who people see me as is nothing more than a conglomeration of all of the people that I admire, the people that I truly do have respect for, put into one, because I see them being successful and decent, for the most part, decent people, you know? So I feel like I didn't figure out who I was until I started examining what my routine was and the things that I liked, and the things that I enjoyed, and what I had passion for. And then I started to figure out who I was.
Through that.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Without a doubt. Because everything else is just like, you know, it's all social.
Yeah. I mean,
that takes up a huge part of our lives.
It's all on the cues, which, you know, anyone on the spectrum struggles with, you know, and we all have these nuances that you're like, wait, like, someone like you just goes, you know.
Oh, and then the part where we say, people say, those with Asperger's say inappropriate things at times. They may not realize it may be inappropriate to say, yo, fuck you. We just say what we want. Okay, and that's pretty much it. Like God love him, like my boss, we're all sitting around talking, and he's got a sty on his eye, on his eyeball, and it, like, a big old pimple type thing, and we're not even talking about it. I mean, God love him, just sitting here shooting shit, blah blah blah, and I'm just looking at it, and I'm looking at it, and he notices me looking at it, and I'm just like, dude, what the fuck is wrong with your eye? And everybody else just looks at me like, what is wrong with you? And my boss, who's a really good dude, and he's like, he knows me. Me since like we went to high school together, you know, and so he knows me. Once I confided in him about the Asperger's thing, I started coming out more a little, you know. He was like, oh, well, a lot of this makes sense now, you know. But But he explained to me, like, you know, well, this is what it is and blah, 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 blah. And it was like, because that's just it, you know. And we just say what's on our mind at that present time. We don't understand small talk. I think small talk is just stupid. It really genuinely, like, hi, Mariah, how are you? It's like, you don't give a damn how I am. Why are you even asking me that? Because I could say, well, you know what? It hurt to poop this morning. I kind of broke and went for the 4 for $4 at Wendy's. I shouldn't have had fast food. Now it hurts even more to poop. Do you really want to know how I'm doing? Do you really want to know how I'm? My girlfriend might leave me because I fart in bed a lot and snore and I won't do anything. You really want to know how my day is going? Like, and again, we're just talking to say, but again, even saying that here now, people probably watch this and be like, the fuck is he thinking? No, dude, that's my mind. Like, that's just whatever's on the mind. Is like, there's a filter that sometimes works, and the filter will be like, if you say that, you're going to go to jail. And then I don't say it, but then it's like, well, people, you're not going to be the most popular person in the room, but at least you'll get to sleep in bed at night and feel good. Okay. It's coming out.
So it's a fine line.
Well, yeah, because it's really, I mean, like, I don't know, like that's why it really bothers me when smart, educated people talk about Asperger's, because it's like, no offense, but like, I don't really, I'm talking about like the whole, the educated part of it, because I'm not educated, and I get so lost with some of this stuff. I'll be pulling up my phone like, dude, define Statagorianism, blah, 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 like some super, like, that's not even a real word, but like some super long word that, you know, if I have to use it more than twice in a 10-minute period to figure out what the hell you're saying, then, you know, that's, again, mea culpa for, you know, I can't focus in school. Like, I just can't. If it's not hands-on, I'm just sitting there in a classroom like, dude, why am I here? This sucks. I want to go play Hitman. Yeah, I'm going to play video games. Where's my... you know, but yeah, so that's, yeah, I just, it bothers me when they talk about it, because I feel like they're observing what we're doing and then trying to tell other people. So it's like, I appreciate the effort, but you know, you're not me. I think you need to like, let us tell you, you know, but then again, like, I mean, I'm smart, but I'm a dummy. What do I know?
Well, honestly, I think it's, to me, things are best in layman's terms. Like, of course, like when it comes to medications and, you know, studies and everything, okay, like you can use the shenanigan terms, but like when you're trying to educate other people, I think it's really important just to be honest, you know, and frank. And like, I totally get like I don't like the small talk. It's like, yeah, like you don't need to know.
No, my doctor, that's why I love my doctor. That's why I love my doctor. They're amazing. Doctor comes in like, so, got your results. I'm gonna talk about it. Okay, cool. What's up? Well, you're definitely on a spectrum. I'm gonna tell you, your needle's like, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. my doctor's cool. You know, because we can joke around like that. I had, you know, because I sometimes use humor to, you know, deflect nervousness. And she's like, yeah, you totally have Asperger's. Like, this is a thing. And I want you to, I'm gonna give you some resources, and I want you to check out a couple of these YouTube things. And again, all it was straight up. It was to the point. I don't like the salesman buttering up thing. You know what I mean? I don't like the whole, like, if you're gonna sell me a shit sandwich, please don't try to put it in some kind of Panera bread and some beautiful. just be like, yo, dude, I got a shit sandwich. That's all I got. But you know, it's nice. It's pretty.
It's really shitty.
You know, I don't like that. It's kind of like leading back to the whole small talk thing. Like, I get lost in it. And good for people who enjoy that stuff. I just think that, to me, and I'm probably wrong in this, and that's totally fine, but to me, small talk is like, wow, dude, you're shallow. You cannot say what you mean. You just want to spout a bunch of meaningless shit that nobody cares. Like, nobody cares. You don't even care about this. Why are we?
I think that's, I don't want to say, do you feel like it could be to your advantage? I'm not sure, because people, like with small talk, like it can totally be a waste of time, and people will hide behind that because they don't want to talk about real things. And that's that can be a disadvantage to them that they're not willing to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering if you might experience it that way.
Oh, well, I would say, I could say that, yeah, that would definitely be a thing. But what ends up happening is, let me tell you something, if there's some ice going to be broken, I'm going to break it. You know, there's definitely not a, I had to learn not to be shy, because it was the only way I was going to have human interaction in order to like to survive. Because even if, you know, I might not like people very much, but you still got to have people in your life. You still got to have love, and you still got to have relationships and friends and family. You still have to.
Yeah.
And you know, when people were uncomfortable because I wasn't about the small talk, and I'm just like, hey man, we actually need to I know that some people who want to do business, like they like to be buttered up. I'm just like, nah, I don't want to butter you up, dude. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to take you out and give you a reach. I'm literally going to just tell you, hey man, we need to do some business. I have $3,000 and I need a music video and I like your work. Can I hire you? You know,
yes not, or no.
Yeah. Not, hey, let me go to this party and get you twisted off your ass and hook you up with somebody. And then in the morning, if you're in a good mood and don't have a hangover, I could maybe have the job. Like, you know, and then that small talk turns into a whole round of, dude, I'm almost, like I said, I'm almost 40, man. I'm not trying to do that kind of stuff. Like, but either way, like, I think it all ties into the small talk thing to people deflecting. They don't want to deal with whatever the issue, they don't want to talk about whatever the real issue is. Like, I think the best small talk, the most entertaining is when people of two different political ideologies start talking in small talks. You know that they want to get to the stuff that they hate about each other, but they can't because they're too busy talking about how the flowers are growing really well. And, oh, little Johnny's just hitting that baseball team. He's doing so well. And, you know, little Trish is in band and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, oh, by the way, screw your politics. Oh, screw your politics. And they just finally get to it. You know, it's like watching that because they're so nervous about who's coming. I'm just like, and I'll be like this. No, and it's not even on purpose. Like, I literally am doing that. Like, I imagine like a
little tennis match.
back and forth, you know. But I don't know. I just wish. The social stuff is never going to go away. We just have to learn to deal with the world, and we have to accept what's out there on a social level and just adapt.
Let's talk about some resources that you would think are helpful for us to dig into when it comes to learning more about the autism spectrum, Asperger's, and other neurological conditions. Because I kind of want to put on the platform right now how we can be more educated in our advocacy.
I would encourage everyone to check out the Aspie World. It's this guy that has Asperger's, and he pretty much just lays it out in layman's terms. If you like, I don't know if he's British or Australian. I beg the forgiveness on that, because I don't really care. All I really care about is that, well, dude seems like we have a lot in common. We definitely have a lot in common. It turns out the guy's in a band. He plays music too, and he uses music as a way to bridge the gap. As far as the social thing, not speaking for him, it's just what I'm observing. But for those watching, the space ASPIE space world, it's pronounced Aspie, and it's an excellent resource. And the reason I believe I'm going to recommend that as opposed to something like, well, go online and just Google it, because no, is that he's really telling it like it is from the perspective of somebody on the spectrum. There's no bullshit. There's none of this. In order for you to understand this, you have to have a master's degree in fuck offology. And it's like, no, dude, just cut to the chase. You know, like he's not one of those guys where you watch a video on YouTube and you literally have to spend the first 4 minutes getting through. Please don't forget to subscribe and blah blah blah. And while you're at it, this shirt that I've got is a Gildan shirt, comes from fuckofft-shirt.com. They're so kind to sponsor me, and I'd really appreciate it. No, it's just straight up, all right, this is what I've got, and this is the deal. And here's, for example, 9 ways you can spot symptoms in adults. It was one of the videos that helped me make my mind up to finally say, I'm going to go to the doctor and we're just going to handle this. Because I have dealt with years of these garbage of bipolar. For those people who have bipolar, they are suffering. And there's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about that. However, people who've been given the diagnosis of bipolar disorder, regardless of what the type is, and then they don't have bipolar, and they're literally telling the people throughout the years, no, I'm just an asshole. I don't have manic and depressive swings. This is not me. Well, you're always depressed. Yeah, I'm an American. What do you expect? Come on. You know? Either way, back to the resources. I would also recommend checking out a TED Talk by Dylan Daylor, D-A-I-L-O-R. It was given about 3 years ago. And it's something that I recommend someone checks out if they're learning to. He talks a little bit about how empathy and Asperger's tie in, and I think that's something really. I get that he's educated and everything, and all you have to listen to a smart guy talk on stage, but it still to me was something that touched, especially with the empathy part. And there's also, and again, all these are going to be YouTube because honestly, don't go to the library. That shit can be outdated. Just go online, man. Asperger Central is a really good place to look up information. And so is the channel Lee Health, like Bruce Lee, even though it's nothing to do with Bruce Lee. Lee Health is another really good resource. And this is also for people who might be dealing with those family members who have Asperger's or autism, to blanket it. This could also be for a partner who is maybe realizing that their partner might not be bipolar or fill in the blank. It could be for anybody. It could be for someone like me who's just discovering who they are. I think they're wonderful resources because they're from people who know what's going on that are there. You know, and that to me shows care and it shows respect and love for those who are dealing with this. So that way because it's you don't know that I have this until I tell you. Most people just think I'm an asshole. And I'm
outspoken,
Oh no, totally. Oh yeah, I get it a lot. That dude's a fill in whatever insult you want. I mean, I've heard it, especially in my music scene. But at the same token, I still sleep at night. My field is barren. There are no fucks grown in it. And there's nothing I can do about what someone thinks about me. But what I can do is, boy, if I screwed somebody over or stole, lied, cheated, just anything, people just need to be honest and try to quit making themselves look so super good. We're all assholes. We've all done some bad stuff. And I bet in your closet and my closet, we got some stuff. So it's just own your shit. I've had to have several conversations with people, man. Look, the way I talk to you, dude, you may not get what I have now, but this is an explanation. I just want you to know I'm still sorry for acting like a chode, but now we've bridged the gap. And in cases where it's been too harmful for the other person to try to make something right, I just don't do shit. I just say, okay, well, I don't want to hurt you anymore by apologizing. You don't want to see my face. Well, then I'm just going to, I won't be in your life. And then you just move on. I learned that from, Narcotics Anonymous. That was actually a really good resource from them. I digress. Those are the resources I would recommend to people.
Brilliant. They're all going to be down in the bikini of the YouTube. Let's talk about, since it seems like what you've had to do most recently is kind of make amends and explaining how you've come up, what has actually happened instead of the false diagnosis of bipolar, you explaining to people who you actually are. What is what you most struggle with now when it comes to your mental state?
I think what I struggle with now is, I would just say anyone else, like chronic depression, where I'm always depressed. And to me, working through that is finding reasons to in life, things in life that give you love, that fuel your passion and that give you the happy feeling inside that just makes you eager to be alive, eager to experience joy. For me, I deal with those things by being around my family. I've got a wonderful, loving girlfriend who I have no idea how she put. She's amazing. She's my rock. She brought her daughter into our relationship, who I held in my arms at 6 months and fell in love with, and her daughter calls me daddy, and she's almost three, and I wouldn't have it any other way. And now she's pregnant with my child, which to me, like, you know, my family just has given me, it gives me more happiness than it used to before, because I didn't really acknowledge the existence of, or the idea of me having an existence of a family. That's first and foremost to me. And, secondly, I would say music, whether it be my band or I'm just writing music for myself that, you know, I might do something with in the future. To me, music just, it makes me feel good. Like, it makes me feel like I matter. Like I have value. I can do something that, you know, is I dare say coveted.
Yeah. So it's kind of like it's the good Prozac, I think. I think when I'm writing, just writing down my feelings, and not just my feelings, but lyrics, mm-hmm. I feel the most myself, even if I'm feeling, because I am bipolar, even if I'm in a really deep dive, just to almost kind of feel like the universe hears me, mm-hmm. you know, with writing that out. And also listening to music that encourages me. And, I completely agree with you. It's a therapy in itself.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. But, and then, I would say cannabis.
All right.
Definitely. I will touch on that briefly.
Please do.
Cannabis became really important to me as a teenager. Again, not knowing what was really going on with me, but knowing that if I smoked, I felt so much better. And people are like, well, duh. You know, and that's great. But then again, not all people have to deal with what I deal with. Like, to me, cannabis is a medicine. And let's just be blunt. Oh, gosh. Up until I got this diagnosis, I had been smoking like a freight train recreationally. Like, And I feel now that that's disrespectful. I feel like I was disrespecting cannabis to a point, because it was like I wasn't really realizing the true value of this beautiful plant given to us by whoever. Don't care. It's here. And because we don't have the proper research, we don't have a way to, until it's finally legalized and taken off Schedule I, and it can be properly researched, you know, all we have is someone like me who's saying, yo, cannabis saves my life. Like, I will never say who my doctor is. I will never say where I get my healthcare from. I will say that I confided everything in my doctor. I confided, when I say everything, we're talking about cannabis too. I know doctors in the state of North Carolina that if you tell that to, they will tell you to get the fuck out. They will not treat you. They even get malicious and put things like cannabis addiction syndrome. It just, I don't know if people with Asperger's or autism all get help or receive any kind of benefit by using cannabis. I know that I do. I know that I do. Okay. And to me, it's so important to, until research is given that says I'm wrong. And then at that point, it's like, well, you need to explain to me how it's helped me, how it's kept me from not blowing my head off at times. Literal, serious statement. Again, this is not sarcasm, because sarcasm to me, Like, what? I don't get it.
It's not a thing. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. A lot of people think I'm sarcastic. I'm just actually being me. And then I had like years ago, I'm like, I don't get this sarcasm stuff. I don't understand it. And it turns out I'm the epitome of it if I were normal.
You know? I can see that. I can see that.
Oh, it totally pisses my girlfriend off to no end. God love her. It does. But to end on that note, I believe that cannabis can be a beautiful medicine for those suffering from social anxiety. I dare say Asperger's and depression. Don't eat so much because you'll get the munchies. And I'm just saying, lost the weight, gained it and lost it and gained it again. It's telling you.
That's the drawback.
I am a big advocate for cannabis and for its research. And I full-heartedly believe that it has helped me. The disclaimer, don't go out and smoke weed just because I said it helped me. And please, for the love of God, wait until your brain is developed. I'm just like,
yeah.
I'm not going to give you medical or legal advice. I'm just saying, like, you know, if it's is or is not legal, and it's not legal in my state, I just don't care about that. Like, I don't care. And I don't, you know, like, what are you going to do? You're going to arrest me for a fucking bowl and some. Okay. Then we're back to this.
I think they have bigger problems.
You would really think. I definitely believe that without a shadow of a doubt, cannabis has helped me. But I can't say for sure that it would help anyone else because research hasn't been done and I can only speak for myself.
There you go. That's perfect disclaimer. Perfect disclaimer.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So from your perspective as someone who is in the music industry and who also happens to have Asperger's, what do you think is the biggest pain point for others in the industry who have mental health and neurological disorders, and how could we go about addressing it?
This is where I need your help and clarification. What do you mean by pain point?
What do you think is affecting people at the core? Like, what is the hardest thing we have to cope with as people in the industry who are also experiencing these issues? Yeah. Okay.
Bullying, without a shadow of a doubt. Without a shadow of a doubt. Definitely. I think it's difficult for, I'll speak from my perspective rather than somebody else's, an attempt to get in their shoes. And I will also include the perspectives of people in, my scene that have confided in me stories, horror stories about being bullied. So, I think that my point of view would be people like me that get bullied in the scene for X, Y, or Z generally are going to go after the bully and make them stop. We're not going to care about gender. We're not going to care about affiliation, sexual orientation, creed, whether or not you go to a Chinese buffet or to a Mexican restaurant. I don't care about any of those things. If you're going to go out of your way to make me feel uncomfortable in a scene that I'm already struggling to have the mental courage to go on stage and show my art to you, which, let's just be real, for the first 15 years sucked. Like, you know, if I'm going to do that, like, the bullying's not going to work. The shit talking, the scenery, the whole, oh, if you go do a show with this band, you won't do a show with us ever again. And I'll tell everybody, da, 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 da. And like, it to me, I walked away from my music scene. I'm not really a part of it. I still do my thing. We still do shows. We still have our yearly annual Jessica Palooza that we hold every October. Like, we still, and we're killing most of them in online plays. And I'm referring to the bands that had bullied myself and my band openly without fear of retribution. I feel us doing better than them has just shown a testament that when you deal with bullies head on, you can cope with the scare that's in your heart, the fear that builds there from, like, half the people that I had problems with, I had no idea, like, where any of this was coming from. And then when we really got to the root of the problem, it turned out, holy shit, these people are still in middle school mentally. What are you doing?
And they're your age.
And then it's coupled with me not having my mental health in check. Oh, recipe for disaster, let me tell you. You know? And because, like, you have to keep in mind, like, Steven, now I can reply to certain situations a little bit differently, you know? I mean, I'll still tell someone to fuck off. But at the same token, getting to that point involves going up more stairs. And, you know, as a guy who'd rather take the escalator to get somewhere, it's like, well, I don't, hell, I mean, I guess to touch on it, like, getting myself in check, like, with the way I reacted to people or to bullies especially, like, you know, it turned out that I would disappoint some family members. You know, it turned out that, and I couldn't understand it. I was like, wait, so these people can do these things and they can say these things and they can act this way and they can throw monkey wrenches into my bed. Like, I had a I don't want to gender it. I need to remember not to do that. A person canceled one of my band's shows and we showed up and we're like, we thought you guys weren't playing. Well, I got a call saying that y'all weren't playing. Well, really, who was that? No idea. We had no idea until they brought the caller ID up and I saw the phone number. I was like, I know who the fuck that is. That's dirty. That's really dirty. That is really bad. And I just realized that bullying was a problem that needed to be stamped out. And I don't think it'll ever go away.
Well, yeah. No.
I think that the best thing to do is when you encounter a cunt, deal with them. Deal with them and deal with them right then and there and get it over with. Whether now, like, I will give the advice that my father gave to me when I was younger. And I'm going to preface this with, when I grew up as a youngster, cops weren't in schools. They still weren't. They weren't modeled after county jails like they are now. And Betsy DeVos wasn't fucking everything up. So, like, we had something. We did. My father said to me, he had just come back from Desert Shield, Desert Storm. I was telling him how I was being bullied at school. And he says to me, son, if you ever have a problem with somebody, you don't ever want anyone to see you deal with it. Because then they've got evidence against you. So you take your arm and you put it around them and you walk them somewhere and you say, you listen here, you little motherfucker. If you don't stop fucking with me, I'm going to wreck your shit. I'm going to wreck your shit right here and now. And you might beat my ass and I might get in trouble. But if I get in trouble, I'm going to come after you again. We're going to stop this now.
I'm going to come after you harder.
You walk away. Now, I'm going to tell you what, every time I've done that to somebody, I've never had a problem with them. And then, you know, it started coming up to where most people would eventually think that I'm crazy and they wouldn't want to bother with me. So, like, that had its pros and cons as well. I just feel like the best, like, bullying is definitely hands down, like, the worst problem that people with, I would say, like, with Asperger's or autism, you know, even if it's not acknowledged publicly, face.
So, you've been sharing that you want to help people, particularly those with neurological issues such as Asperger's, deal with bullies and hate in a positive way. Let's talk about that impact when it comes to having this platform you have with your band. I want to know what your vision is with that and how you plan to execute it.
Well, I just really like to learn how to teach people to deal with bullies without getting arrested. Because I come from a different time.
Yeah.
I come from a time where you could smack the shit out of somebody if they were doing this to you, and 99 times out of 100, you weren't going to jail. Nowadays, you do something like that, you're more than likely going to go to jail. Everybody's got a cell phone. Now everybody's a social justice warrior and wants to go to town on you on Facebook over a situation they have no idea about. It's like, I want to learn how to deal with, I want to learn how to bridge the gap to the current generation and basically just embolden the message, you don't have to take people's shit. You can be you. You can be you. You can be happy. You can love. You can be loved. You can be whoever you want. And if somebody's around you that wants to bring you down, oh, you could take them out, but I need to figure out, I want to figure out with my vision how to bridge the gap. And that's going to include talking to younger people, a younger generation. And back to the whole men shutting up and listening to women, it's going to be Steven shutting up and listening to what people nowadays are going through. Because look, when I was growing up, man, like I had a BBS and I had four nodes running out of my house since I was making some mad cash as a teenager. It was great. But back, like when I became my first college year, like we had, that's when AOL came out, the free discs. That's when that started. So like, you know, you got a whole culture of kids who are used to a whole thing of online bullying, you know, that just didn't exist back in the day. You would just go into the bathroom and you'd see so-and-so's name is whatever insult I happen to see. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what, that was the extent of stuff. Like, you know, nowadays it's just so much more extreme. It's really extreme and you have kids killing themselves over it. And that is just a fucking travesty. So I think that my vision would include listening to those who are bullying now and listening to their experiences and then trying to figure out in the environment of America that we have created, what we have here, right now, how do we stop them? If I can't smack the shit out of you, because people can say violence it doesn't work, blah, blah, blah. And look, it's not about being a violent guy. It's just about you won't stop. You will not stop. And I need you to stop because what you're doing, it's none of this is good. And if I put my hand on you, you'll stop. And I want to figure out how to not get to not do that because I don't want people to go to jail for standing up for themselves. It's not cool. A kid gets into a fight now and he gets arrested and he could, you know, I get that you're a juvie and your records are sealed and then you're 18 and blah, but really you're known as that.
Yeah. It's on your record.
You know? Oh, and an 18-year-old gets into a fight and all of a sudden their life's ruined and they have a charge because some gung ho law now states that you're going to have to go to jail over having a scrap because violence is bad. Okay, well then what do we do? Because no one's really saying like this is how we deal with bullies. No one's saying let them go in the back and just duke it out. No one's saying let's sit down and talk. No one's saying let's try to figure out what the problem is. They're just like, we're gonna pretend it's not here and we're gonna hope that life goes through. It's just disgusting how, you know, nobody really in my eyes is just standing up and saying, you know what, I've just had enough of this and I'm going to try to teach kids like how to resolve problems. I'm going to teach kids how to work through differences. I'm going to teach kids how to properly stand up for themselves in a positive manner without resorting to violence. Like I didn't see that growing up. I didn't see it with my nephews growing up and they're just now turning into young men, fine young men. And if it's out there, I'd like to be a part. If it's out there and I'm ignorant, I don't know. And that's totally cool too. Like I never claimed to be smart. then I definitely would like to learn, about that and help advocate for that.
Absolutely. You've got your work cut out.
Oh, definitely.
But it's, I think it's tangible. I think if you just go. And you use your Steven-ness, you know.
if it could just help one kid not have to deal with being bullied, then great.
Yes.
I don't care if the kid has Asperger's or autism or not. But even more so, like this is a disorder that like you can't tell that I've got unless I tell you. You're just gonna think I'm a dick, and that's normal because that's the perception. If I don't. Share. And then also I got to try to, you know, like the leading back to, you know, owning your shit. some girl had written an article. I forget who she was, but it was one of the best articles I ever read. And it was, mental illness is not an excuse for you to be an asshole.
I read
and,
that.
Yeah. And that also, that article touched with me, you know? So yeah.
Absolutely. I want to thank you so much for taking the time and just being so honest and just completely so like open about all of these things that you've been talking to us about. I have one more question if you have the time.
I do. Yeah, I got a little bit of time. You're good.
Absolutely. Okay. So how have you created beautiful things in 2019, and how do you continue to do that for the rest of the year?
Well, I think I've continued on the path of creating, as you say, beautiful things by being lucky enough to be an audio engineer and have my own studio and all the instruments and everything that I need. If I need inspiration, I have a beautiful family. Like I said, I've got a loving girlfriend and blah, 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 friends, family, just people who are doing well. I can look for inspiration within those things and I create. I'm getting past the point where the angst is the prevalent theme in music. Like, I'm tired of negative shit, dude. Like, so it's like, I don't want to write a song about the girlfriend who broke my heart. Fuck that bitch. I want to write a song about the woman I love. I want to write a song for my children to grow up to. Or if I'm angry about something, maybe I want to write a song about something I'm passionate about, you know, like protecting our environment, you know, or climate change, or women's reproductive rights, or fuck it, women's rights. You know, I look to those kind of things for inspiration, and I create based off of that. I look at my drummer who has went through hell and back and is a beacon of hope and radiance in their community, and I look at their strength. I take inspiration from that. I look at my singer who is raising a daughter and who is growing into a fine young woman, and how hard she's working to provide for her family, and I take inspiration from that. And my plans to continue, well, until I can't, I'm just going to keep doing it. You know, like, I hope to be in my mid-50s, because my youngest daughter is going to be like 15 by then. I hope to be in my mid-50s and figuring out, all right, am I going to be moving to Puerto Rico soon to be that old guy with the family that has a recording studio that all the bands come to get that sound from? Because, like, I'm totally cool doing that. You know, I don't have long. Okay, I don't feel like you talked earlier, like really briefly, you talked about like when you felt, you know, you believed your mind was made wrong and how you went about the process of healing. Well, to me, like, that's when my life started, was this year. So yeah, my body's 39 years old, and thank God, or Joe Pesci, or whoever's listening, I'm healthy. But I don't know how much longer I got. I could die right now. So as long as I'm here, I hope to be able to be creating music that, or be a part of, shall I say, creating music that touches people that they can identify with, that they can say, hey, I've been there, or hey, I hear that. That makes me feel good. Like that gives me, I now have that jump to do something in my day, you know? That kind of stuff gives me hope, you know. That's what keeps me creating beautiful things, is that kind of joy and that love for all of those things.
Amen. I love it. That was perfect. Perfect. Just quit. Nice little bow. Nice little bow. And we're not about nice wrapping things up in nice little bows here, but that was
oh, well, that was just that way. right on.
All right, perfect. Tell us, just remind us again where you want us to find you and follow you and stalk you.
No, it's great. Definitely check us out on Spotify. You can just type in Past Tense of Never. We are the only one there. We come right up. Also other music platforms like Apple Music, Pandora, Amazon Prime, Google Play, Napster, Deezer, all that stuff. Like, we're on all of them. even YouTube Music. And also, please go just type in Past Tense of Never on YouTube, and for the love of God, subscribe. Okay? Like, I need 35 subscribers, I think, to get to 100. And that's when we can get our custom URL. So if you want me to give you a custom URL to tell us, or to tell you where we can find, you can find us, then please subscribe.
That's the easiest way.
Yeah. On Facebook, just type in Past Tense of Never. On YouTube and, or on Instagram and Twitter, you can type in PTON official. Not too great at Twittering, but we're trying to figure it out, and pretty active on all the other social media sites though. And our Facebook and Spotify are the best way to stay in tune with what's going on with us, we find.
All right. Thank you so much.
No, it's my pleasure.
Wonderful
Thank
time.
You for, yeah.
Yeah, of course. All right, my beautiful friends. That was Steven Myers and me, Steel Maggie. Mind Made Wrong, our first video. Thank you so much for joining us. I will see you next week. But until then, let's go create beautiful things. Bye-bye.